Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Infinite Potential of Being Human podcast, a space where we will be revealing what is it that is getting in the way of our potential as human beings, as a species, diving into a deep inquiry into body, mind, consciousness, our way of being on the planet today, and our current relationship with our reality and with reality itself. My name is Nikki Clinch. I am your host. I will be sharing the science, research, and evidence, and coming into this podcast from the paradigm of ontology, looking at why you are the way you are, not as a you problem, but looking at it from the context of a human problem. This is not about you. This is about being human. My intention is that in this podcast, you will discover so many blind spots that are running you and your life and how reality is unfolding, and that you can start to experience yourself as part of the human species rather than just an individual stuck in a story trying to solve your own problems. This is the time now on our planet to remember and embody and realize our infinite potential as a species. If you want to dive even deeper beyond this podcast, you can download our 21 Days of Expansion, 21 powerful body-mind ontological activations, meditations, for you to be able to work with your own rewiring and neural pathways to be able to create a fundamental shift in how you experience yourself, how you experience your reality, and the way in which you are a co-creator in the world that you are getting. So just hit the link below to download 21 Days, and that can be yours starting now. But for now, let's dive into this podcast, The Infinite Potential of Being Human. I am so excited for you to explore and inquire and receive all the teachings and richness and education of the episodes ahead. Thank you so much. I'm Nikki Clinch. I'm delighted to be here with you. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of the Infinite Potential of Being Human podcast. My name is Nikki Clinch, and I'm your host. So excited to have everyone here. And I want to begin this episode with saying thank you, because so many of you have been listening and sharing the episodes with the people in your lives and in your world, and leaving us the most amazing reviews, that in such a short space of time, we as a podcast have now reached the top 2% in the world of global rankings of all the podcasts, which is an unbelievable achievement in such a short space of time. The agency that have been working with us in putting this podcast out and editing and getting it ready have said to us they have never seen a podcast expand and grow that quickly in such a short space of time. And that is because of you. Thank you so much. Thank you for coming back. Thank you for listening. Thank you for the support. Thank you for caring. Thank you for diving into these inquiries with me. I know that these topics are not comfortable and they're not easy. And yet you are listening and you are sharing and you are spreading the word, and we are really just warming up. So I just want to thank you and acknowledge the depth and the complexity of this space, of the conversations that we are beginning here. They're not easy, and yet they are so crucial to each of yours and my individual life, and of course, to all of life as human beings. So I want to begin by just saying thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm so grateful. I love doing this, and I feel like we're just getting warmed up. So today, I want to dive into a topic that I see so many people struggle with. And I think it's kind of given me an idea of a series of topics that I'm going to be releasing on particular human experiences that we struggle with in our day-to-day life that have such an entanglement with our patterns and our identity, so that you can start to get a grasp on what's actually generating this particular body-mind experience, what is at the root of it, how has it shaped who you think you are and therefore your behavior? So obviously pretty important stuff, right? So this week's episode, I want to focus on the body-mind experience of confusion. Why is it that we freeze from this experience of confusion that grips us? Why is it that we freeze? And what is the root to this pattern? How may it be shaping and getting entangled with who you think you are as your identity and therefore your behavior? And how do you begin to outgrow it? How do you begin the process of becoming free of it? That's our work. So, confusion. For those of you who are listening, how many of you suffer from confusion as part of your pattern? Confusion is when you really don't know something, but your mind is telling you that you should. When you really genuinely do not know, and yet your mind is telling you that you should. And that conflict between what is as the experience of not knowing and the mind grasping and battling, trying to understand and to know and work out how you should know and why you don't know, and you better work out how to know, that internal body-mind battle quite literally creates a battle energetically and in a resonance within the body-mind field and experience. And that creates a freezing and a conflict internally taking place. That's what confusion actually is. So let me begin by diving into what's actually happening when we get gripped by confusion. And I want to reiterate, this is not you. This is not something that is you're doing wrong or that you're somehow at the fault of or the blame of. This is a human experience. This is part of the human experience. But what I also want to unpack is how that human experience then gets entangled with the identity that we know ourselves as, and then how the experiences of the past are entangled with the experiences of the present, and then that drives our behavior led by survival. So what's actually happening when we're gripped with confusion? Close your eyes wherever you're listening from. Close your eyes and think of a time recently where you really experienced being confused. I'm doing the same, by the way, as I'm leading you through this. What's present in the body? It's like a whirling swirlingness, like losing one's ground. Something has gripped. It's like swirling all over the place and can't quite have anything to hold on to, mixed and entangled with a panic and a lostness and an aloneness and a fear, real fear. And the thoughts are, I'm not safe. I need to work this out. I need to do it right. There's something wrong with me. Something bad's going to happen. So it's a whirling, swirling amalgamation of emotions and sensory textural experiences in the body and mental noise. But of course, when you're in it, that's probably not how you're seeing it until, of course, you bring more consciousness to it. But when you're in it, it literally just feels confused, like you don't really know what's got you. You can't quite work out what's happened, but you can't quite see straight. You can't quite get out of it. And your mind is desperately trying to grasp onto a way to stay in control. If this sounds familiar, then great. If it doesn't feel familiar to you, then close your eyes and tap into what confusion feels like for you. but bring the consciousness to what's happening on a sensory experiential level, what's happening on an emotional level and a mental level, and all of it together entangled is the body-mind experience of confusion. And then, of course, when this grips us and we don't have any real consciousness or power over the full body-mind experience mechanism, how does that then pull us deeper into our story and our patterns and our way of being, our behavior? What are all the million billion ways, small and big, that that gripping then leads you on how to be and what to do? Perhaps you become extremely tense and maybe you start losing your temper around the people that you love. Maybe you start snapping and getting tight because you're really trying to hold on to some kind of sense of control. Or maybe you're completely on the verge of collapsing and then you just feel like you're worthless and you tell yourself that you're weak and you're fragile and you can't deal with the world and you can't deal with your work and you can't deal with anything. You can't deal with your money. You can't deal with your partner. Remember, I've said in this podcast, in other episodes, really there are only fundamentally two ways that human beings deal with pain. We either resist it and control and tension and overcompensation and hiding it and managing it are all forms of resistance. Or we submit to it, meaning we collapse into it. It takes us over and we completely lose ourselves. And we usually become a real victim inside of it. There's something wrong with me. I'm completely worthless. Nobody loves me. I can't trust myself. I can't deal with the world. And then maybe that will lead you to do certain things like quitting your job or ending the relationship or pulling out of a commitment that you made to do something that you really want to do. It then starts to infiltrate who you're being in your life and how you are living it. That's called survival. So this particular body-mind experience has a lot of power. And as long as it is unconscious of what is actually taking place and what the root of what is taking place within you and through you and from you, then it will have the power to dictate and run your world. In fact, it will likely already be driving much of who you are ending up being. And you may not even realize that at the root of all this is confusion. And you may not even realize that at the root of confusion, it's actually an experience that is being on repeating mechanically from your past. And you'll be getting pulled into the survival mechanism that wants to quite literally blind us into an illusion that there's something happening right now in this present reality that is causing it and triggering it, and the mind will attach to whatever that is. I made the wrong decision in my work. I need to quit. It's not safe to love this human being. I need to end the relationship. I did something bad with my money, and so now I'm going to lose it all and I'm not safe. The mind will attach it to whatever it can attach it to. That's the mind's job. It's there to survive. And then, of course, we get lost in the present moment entanglement, thinking that this is really happening now, when actually the past is running and contaminating our present and driving and giving us our behavior. So you can hear, this is pretty big stuff. And this is just one human experience. Really, what I've just shared just now is how the story of all different kinds of experiences have such a profound and fundamental impact on who you are being and what you are behaving and the choices that you are or are not making in your life, and therefore how your reality is unfolding. So it's real power is being able to be with the confusion and have the confusion as an experience, but you are able to have it and be with it and hold it and be in a conscious relationship of what is, rather than it having you. So let's dive deeper. How does confusion show up in the body? Like an internal freezing, numbness, swirling, whirling, lostness, panic, unsafety, need to grip on to some form of control. The mind will be searching and grasping for anything to attach itself to attach this experience to give it something to try and survive. Your bank account, your job, your business, your relationship, your marriage, yourself. And the confusion creates a freezing and a numbness that then, of course, drives even further the evidence that you are probably already looking for, that you can't trust yourself, there's something wrong with you, and you're doing it wrong. And then you're right back into the vicious circle and trying to control even more and change yourself and solve the problem, which probably brings you even deeper into the confusion, and you're in the vicious circle. And so what I'm saying is, if it grips you that strongly, it is almost certain it is of the past. And if it is repeating and it is a repetitive part of who you know yourself to be and who you think you are in your life, it's of the past. And if it's stuck and you've not been able to become free of it, no matter what you do with your affirmations and your meditations and your journaling, and the moments of reprieve from it are fundamentally temporary, it's your past. The past is right here in the present, blinding you and contaminating how you experience and see the present, giving you the illusion that it has anything to do with the present, which then, of course, gives you how you behave and who you're being. So let's go right back to the root. What actually creates this, the original, let's call it trauma, which is really just another word for wound? What creates this original wiring of a frozen experience of confusion in the body-mind? Well, firstly, let's just bring some consciousness to children, which we were all once. Back in childhood, children are so open to the human experience and to the experience of life. In fact, children are right in the experience of life and aliveness. Aliveness is able to move through children in a way that becomes stuck and relatively stagnant and not in flow with adults. And the reason being is that the mind is not yet fully running the entire system as a child, particularly a young child of predominantly 3 or 4 years old. And developmental psychologists will say that really by the time we're 3, it's all over. Everything that has been absorbed and imprinted and entangled by the time we are 3, I would say 3 or 4, it's done. The identity is set. The shaping of how we see and know ourselves is set. And then that just keeps repeating and repeating and repeating as we grow, which then reinforces the identity and the pattern even more. So, you know, we as children, we're so open. We're so in tune to experience and aliveness. The mind is not yet running the entire system. We're more in the present moment as children, which means we are more present to the full experience of life. Because as young children, we are not yet in a relationship with time. We have no sense of time. And time is what pulls us into the mind. In fact, time only exists in the mind and inside the story. So as children, we have no concept of time. All there is nowness. And nowness is where the experience of life is. In fact, you can only experience an experience in now. Let me say that again, because that's really important. You can only experience in now. Do you notice that once you are in an experience, it can only happen in now? And the moment it is no longer now, you're now in the memory of the experience rather than the actual alive movement of the experience. So children are predominantly in now, and that's where they are so fully present to the experience of life. They are present to the experience of their environment. They're present to the experience of their parents. Children learn more from who their parents are being, far more than what their parents are saying or doing. In fact, children are absorbing and picking up the experience of the environment and who their parents are being at such a refined, finite level. They're quite literally able to pick up and absorb the refinement of the resonance in the field, of what's moving through their parents' being and body, of what's happening and in the environment of their childhood. That's what children are absorbing and picking up. I remember watching a Red Table interview with Demi Moore, and she was speaking about how she doesn't understand why her children ended up with the identical patterns that she had around not feeling enough and not feeling worthy and not experiencing being good enough, because she told her children over and over and over again how much she loves them. In fact, she told them over just every day, she would validate them and affirm them and say all the things that she never got herself. And she wanted to make sure that they knew that. But of course, her children were absorbing who Demi was being far more than anything she was saying. They were absorbing the insecurity and the low self-worth that she was experiencing constantly about herself. They were absorbing the suffering and the lack of presence. They were absorbing her experience of her own self. And sometimes that's being disconnected from their own self. And that's what children absorb. And so as children, we are so present to the experience inside our childhood environment. And then of course, because of the nature of human behavior and human condition, and you just look at just from these episodes alone, how much it takes to become really conscious of who we're being, predominantly parents will be acting and behaving and communicating in some kind of conflict to who they're being. I remember distinctly being 4 years old, and my mother was really unwell. Like, she was unstable, struggling hugely. You know, my father had left already. She was with these three children on her own. She had her own pain, her own trauma that was unresolved. And I remember looking at her and seeing how much pain she was carrying and how on the edge she was. I could see how fragile she was. But everything about what she was saying and doing and her behavior was hiding it and masking it and pretending it wasn't there. And everyone around us was validating the mask. I actually remember feeling so confused as to why I could see and experience the depth of pain and fragility within her, and yet everyone, and including herself, was behaving differently. And the unsafety that I experienced as a child because of that conflict, the confusion. You see, if the parents are not present to their own experience and also unable to be in the presence of their own experience, they will say words and give stories and become a character and have behavior to present a certain version of themselves that is in conflict to what is actually present. And that's who we are absorbing. We're absorbing the experience that we are, because we're present to in nowness, and simultaneously what's being presented and told to us, which is in complete conflict to what we're picking up. Can you let in how fundamentally unsafe that feels as a tiny little child? It teaches us, it's the beginning of so many things, that we cannot trust our own experience. We cannot trust ourselves. And of course, as young children, that's not how we're thinking, but it's in the subconscious. We cannot trust ourselves. We cannot trust our own experience. In fact, our own experience must be wrong because these people are the authority and they're telling me different. So the split begins. We quite literally split out of nowness and the experience of nowness, and we start listening to the mind. The mind is trying to conceptually understand and work out what is actually happening because it doesn't align or match up with what we are picking up experientially. So the experience between the body and the mind is already beginning to be in some form of conflict. One experience is happening in the body while the mind is trying to grasp in such a survival way an understanding of what's actually happening. And this split, this conflict, this battle is the beginning of that internal freezing and that internal confusion. And that in itself is the beginning of the shaping of a pattern of not trusting our own experience in nowness, not feeling safe in our own experience in nowness, and jumping into the battle of the mind that is only designed to try to survive. So working out what's actually happening, understanding, staying in control. So what actually is confusion? Confusion is when in the experience, we really don't know what's happening. As a little girl, I was present to, there was no words or language for things like pain and depression and suicidal and fragility. There's no words in my vocabulary or my mental development yet for any of that insight. All I'm picking up as a four-year-old is the resonance and the experience of it. But I don't understand why. Why is my mother so sad? Why is she so depressed? Doesn't she love me? Am I bad? And the mind starts to look for ways to understand what doesn't make any sense. I don't know why. I don't understand why my mother is so sad. She just is. And my mind then starts to grasp on to million billion ways. Well, I better work out why she's sad, because if she's this sad and I don't work it out, then she's not going to love me. And I better work out how to make sure she loves me. So the conflict begins. Confusion is when we really don't know. We just don't know. But the mind thinks you should. Confusion is when you really don't No, which is a now, it's a presence, but the mind thinks you should. And so the mind then starts grabbing, grasping, looking for ways. It must be because I'm bad. It must be because I'm too fat. It must be because and this is literally how a little girl's mind will think in very young voices, because children are inherently very narcissistic. They have yet to have the brain development that there is a experience of the world outside of them. Children's development is only that the world revolves around them. So it must be because of them. It must be because I'm bad, or I'm not good enough, or I'm unlovable. And then, of course, the mind is trying to grasp, well, how do I work out to be lovable? How do I make sure that I'm going to be seen? How do I make sure? And then, of course, that gives behavior. So I became a little girl that would literally dance and sing. And like we have these home videos and I am dancing and singing and throwing myself all over the place. And it's painful for me to watch because I can see that what's driving the dancing and the singing is not inspiration, but desperation. Desperation to work out why my mother doesn't love me and why she's so sad and I better work out how to change it. So confusion is when we really don't know, but the mind thinks you should, which then creates this internal battle and freezing and then the whirling, swirlingness of trying to work out and grasp what's actually happening and what's making sense. And surely I got to understand why. And we can't work out why, which plummets us even more into the confusion. Then we feel even more unsafe. And then our behavior starts to kick off. Now with the control kicks in and the tension and the pushing and the driving and the grasping or the collapsing. And what we don't realize is that the past of a four-year-old or three-year-old is repeating and being recognized within the body-mind here in the present and coloring and infiltrating our present, giving us our behavior. So how do we start to gain more power over this? Firstly, to bring consciousness to what's happening in the body-mind. Wow, something has gripped me. What's actually happening? What's happening in the body? What's happening texturally and experientially? What's happening emotionally? Something has gripped me. Bringing consciousness to how the past is in the present. Becoming more conscious of your past and how that is not gone. The past is not back there. Go back and listen to the episode on time. The past is in here. And as long as it has been unresolved and predominantly outgrown, it is frozen in time in the body-mind consciousness. So bringing consciousness to how the past is here right now. And then being willing to take ownership and responsibility of the past that is here right now. And that is not an easy piece. Go back and listen to the episode on responsibility and true power and blaming and learning. Are we now willing to be with this full body-mind freezing that is happening from our past rather than letting it drive our behavior and our actions and our thoughts? And then the final piece and the most important one, but the hardest, is allowing yourself to just not know. If confusion is when you really don't know, but your mind thinks you should, if you let yourself just not know, there's no need for confusion. But not knowing is one of the hardest places for human beings to be. It's in direct conflict to the design of the human mind. But actually, not knowing, really letting yourself not know, is a profoundly powerful space to be. In fact, there are two kinds of not knowing. The first kind is like a dismissive not knowing. Oh, I just don't know. It's not alive. It's like trying to fob something off. It's really a survival pattern. Oh, I just don't know. Forget about it. There will be no healing or maturation available with that kind of I don't know, which is really a resignation. But then there is another I don't know where it's, wow, I really don't know. Oh, I really don't know. And when you're in that I don't know, and you can really let yourself not know and be curious in that not knowing, it allows a deeper state of alive presence in the not knowing. In fact, you are more in nowness than ever before. And you can allow yourself to not know as long as you don't know until eventually you have a moment and you just suddenly know. Have you ever noticed that when you're trying to work something out and you're giving yourself an absolute twirling, whirling entanglement because you don't know yet, when actually you could just let yourself not know until you actually know? You notice that sometimes you're doing the washing up and then suddenly the answer comes to you and you're like, oh yeah, now I know. But we don't do that. We get caught up in the confusion and the whirling, twirling, swirling, trying to control and work it out. And then that can take weeks, days, months, years, decades of our life in a complete state of suffering. When if you really just don't know and you allow yourself to not know until you know, there's no suffering. In fact, there's infinite flow. So, as a journaling prompt, as always, just write down in a stream of consciousness everything that's come up for you by listening to this episode, just so that you can really integrate it into your individual experience of yourself in your life, which is, of course, where all the power is. And then from there, start to become present, write two or three examples of when confusion has gripped you and you got pulled into it and then lost in it, thinking there's something wrong with you and you're so bad. And then you got pulled even deeper into the vicious circle. And when you take those examples, ask yourself, if you really just allowed yourself to not know, without judgment, without making that mean anything about you, without making it mean anything about anything, you just don't know, how much would that have shifted and changed your behavior, the actions or the reactions that you took and who you were being? It's our state of presence or lack of it that drives who we are being, and who we are being speaks so much louder than anything we say or do. So I hope that you have found this episode helpful. I am now thinking I'm going to do episodes like this on the human experience and start unpacking a few different ones: shame, numbness, lostness, so that we can start to get a grasp on these in a more specific and particular ways. I hope that you have found this episode helpful. If you have, please do share it with anybody that you think it will be beneficial to. And if you love this podcast, please do give us a star rating on Spotify or Apple, or go to Apple and give us a written review. It's the best way that you can support us. Give us a 5-star rating, write a review, and share it with the people that you know. Thank you so much for listening. This is the Infinite Potential of Being Human podcast, and I am Nikki Clinch. That's it, folks. Thank you so much for listening to the Infinite Potential of Being Human podcast with myself, Nikki Clinch, as your host. If you want to ensure that you experience a fundamental shift, not just in how you are living your life, but in who you are being in it, a paradigm shift in who you are being starting now, please download our 21 days of expansion activation process. 21 activations for 21 days of body, mind, ontological activations for you to be able to work with you both in the experiential aspects of your body and the wiring of your neural pathways in your mind. You can own this for the rest of your life and create that shift starting now. From this place, you can discover the infinite potential of being human and the aspects of the power and the aliveness that is waiting for you to discover it and realize it now. So download the link below to access your 21 days of expansion and let us know how those shifts start landing in your world. Thank you so much for listening. This is the Infinite Potential of Being Human podcast with Nikki Clinch. I will see you next week.